the reading of the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from the Gospel of John. From John and chapter 6. From John chapter 6, and we'll read verses 51 through 56. John 6, and then verses 51 through 56. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So in these words, the Lord Jesus offers himself. He offers himself as the food for your soul. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ is food for your soul. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he himself is held out to you. Now, what is the gospel? It is that Jesus, the eternal Son, has come down from heaven. God manifest in the flesh. Look at verse 51. How does Jesus identify himself? Who Jesus is, how we identify him, depends not on our own imaginations, but on what he has said. How has he identified himself? Look at verse 51. "I am the living bread." The living bread that came down from heaven, as opposed to the manna which had come down from heaven. Okay, so kids, you remember the story about the Exodus and the Israelites, and they're wandering around in the wilderness. What did God give the Israelites to eat? Do you remember? They went out first thing in the morning, and what did he give them? He gave them the manna. And what was manna? It was bread from heaven. And that was how he fed them in the wilderness. Jesus compares himself to the manna. But there's a difference between the manna, which the Israelites ate, and Jesus. And what is the difference? Let's scan back up to what he says in verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. What does Jesus say about himself? Look at verse 51. If anyone eats of this bread, the living bread, he will live forever. So then this living bread, what does it grant? What does it gift to you? It gifts you life from the dead. What is the gospel? The message of the gospel is life from the dead. And how is that life given to you? It's bestowed. It is given. It is offered to you through the person of Jesus, the Son of God. Look back with me at verse 51. Verse 51. And the bread that I will give, what will he do with this bread? It will be given. It will be offered. It will be delivered. The bread that I will give for the life, not the destruction, for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus used language strongly. And so there's no surprise that those listening to him responded rather adamantly with arguments. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus explains. Look at verse 53. Truly, truly. What does Jesus speak? He speaks what is true. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus does not water down his language. He goes straight at them with this same vivid, concrete, vigorous language. And the point that he's making, what is he saying about himself? He's not saying that you're going to literally and physically eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's not the point that he's making. The point that he's making is for you to possess life in yourself, you must be in union and communion with me, with the Son of Man, with the Son of God. Look at verse 56. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. There is his point. His point is that life, how is life bestowed? How do you pass from death to life? How are you raised from the pit of despair and death to walk in newness of life? How is that given to you? It's not given to you through self-effort. No, how is that given? Look at verse 56. It is through abiding in him. That is the point. This is a passage about union with Christ. It is a passage about communion with Christ, being one with Christ. And what I want you to hear is that Jesus Christ is food for your soul. That is the gospel. That is the promise. That is the offering. That is what is given to you, that Jesus, the Son of God, is the food for your soul. He has come down. That's the first thing I want you to see. This food for your soul. What has he done? He has come down. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down. That Jesus, the eternal Son, who has never not been the Son, he takes to himself human flesh. Forever now in a human form. Who he is has not changed. His essence, his nature, his character has not changed. But he does add to himself. What does he do? He takes to himself a human form. God manifest in the flesh. He is the Son who takes on this living bread. And what is the living bread? It is flesh. Flesh and blood. Here you have Jesus, and what do you see? Jesus is offered to you as food for your soul. He has come down in the incarnation. He has come down as the babe in Bethlehem. He has come down as this living bread. And because he is divine flesh, because he is God and human in one person, that lends a supernatural, divine, life-giving power to his obedience, his sufferings, his blood, who he is, because of his divinity, because of his deity, because he has come down, because he has come from above. What does that mean for you? That means that this is a Jesus who is to be trusted, who can be loved, who can be worshiped, and who can give life from the dead. Jesus Christ is food for your soul. He has come down. And you are one. You're one. You're one with him. That is the truth which he is pressing home to your mind, your conscience, and perhaps most of all to your affections. This is a mystery which the mind could never completely comprehend, nor could the tongue express. That you are one with Jesus, the Son of God. And he is food for your soul. He's using the image of bread, of eating, of drinking. Why would he use this image? Well, because he knows this is a mystery that is completely incomprehensible to the human mind. As John Calvin, the 16th century pastor, put it, this is a mystery that is more felt than understood. The mystery of our oneness with Christ, our union with Christ, that all that is his has become ours. Look at verse 56. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. There is an abiding in Christ. What is it to be in union with him? It is to abide in him. It is to remain in him. It is to live in him. It is for all that is his to become yours. What has he given to you? In your utter poverty, in your spiritual bankruptcy, he grants you the riches of heaven. He has descended so that you can ascend unto glory. He has carried your sins upon his back to the cross so that you could be pronounced not guilty, innocent, faultless, righteous before the throne. All that is his becomes yours. You are one. You are united. Just as much as when you take in bread and wine as nourishment for your body, in the same way, Jesus is food and nourishment for your soul. And how does this come about? How is it that you are united to such a divine person? He is in heaven. Where is Jesus now? Kids, where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus? He's in heaven. Jesus is in a place that we cannot see, and therefore we can't see him now. That's why we can't see him now, because he's in a place where we can't go yet. Jesus is in heaven. You and I are on earth. So how is it that you and I can be one? How can the Apostle Paul use this language of being in Christ? How can Jesus use this language of abiding, even of eating and drinking of his flesh and blood? How can he use this metaphor, this image of union with him, when there is such a vast different distance between us? How can he use that language? Y'all, you remember? The Bible is a supernatural book. And the gospel is a supernatural message. And the Holy Spirit is able to unite things that are in distant places. This is a mystery more deeply felt than understood. He is able to unite things and people in different places. Union with Christ. How does the Apostle Paul describe it? When the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, and he prays for them that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. Isn't that what you pray for, parents? Isn't that what you pray for your children? Isn't that what you pray for your neighbors? Isn't this how you plead for lost souls, that they would experience Christ dwelling in them by faith? Isn't this what you yourself have experienced? If you're a Christian sitting here this morning, that you yourself have felt the power of Christ in you, that Christ dwells in you by faith. Now, how did that come about? You look at the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 this afternoon. So after lunch, after you take a little siesta, you open it up to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 16 and 17. And how does the Apostle Paul pray? He prays that the Ephesians would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Then he says that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith. How does Christ come to dwell in your heart? How do you abide in Christ? Well, it's by the power of the Spirit, the supernatural, sovereign Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God unites you to the Son. You are one with Him. Y'all, what is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is offered to you. He has come down, and you are one. The Holy Spirit, He makes you to be one with this Jesus, so that all that is His riches, His righteousness, His garments, His zeal, His love, His goodness, it becomes yours. Every possible gift or grace you could need, everything you could ever desire, rightly, where does it come from? Does it not come from Christ? Is He not your all in all? Eating and drinking of Jesus' body and blood. No, that's not about the Lord's Supper. That is about union with Christ. That is about feeding on Christ. No, the Westminster men, when they penned these words in the larger catechism, and they gave you these words of counsel, what do you think about? What do you do during the Lord's Supper? And they give you this language in question 174. It's printed there in the bulletin. One of the phrases they give is, You feed on Christ. What does that mean to feed on Christ? Well, it means that you're nourished by Him. You're fed by Him. What sort of Jesus do you hold fellowship with? He's not just a cloud. He's not just a speculation or some philosophical system. No, what sort of Jesus do you hold fellowship with? He is an enfleshed Christ. Now, this very Lord's Day, seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, what sort of Christ do you love? Whom do you worship? What sort of Jesus do you trust? Well, He is an enfleshed Christ. An enfleshed Jesus to this day. A flesh which you will see in glory. Oh, He is the food for your soul. Why do we cry out to Him in our hunger and our thirst? Why do we cry out unto Him? Because He is the Son who has come down with a full deity and divinity of person who deserves to be worshipped and served. And you are one with Him. And you are united. And so, the third thing I want you to see is that He is offered. He's come down, and you are one. And now, He is offered to you. What does Jesus say He will do? Look at verse 51. And the bread that I will give. What will He give? He will give of His flesh. And that giving of His flesh will be life from the dead. Where does Jesus offer His flesh? Where does He give Himself for the life of sinners? Is it not there at the cross? Is it not there where the nails and spear would pierce Him through? What is the gospel? Jesus is our curse. That Jesus bore the dreadful curse. Where did He give of His own flesh for the life of the world? It was there at the crucifixion. There, the storm of wrath bore down upon the Son. There you have it. There, the clouds gather and they broke upon the eternal Son. He gives Himself there at the cross. And oh, when you and I survey that wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, our richest gain we count but loss. We give it up and we pour contempt on all our pride. He gives Himself at the cross. He gives Himself through His word, through what He has said, through His promises. Later on, after Jesus has said some fairly difficult words about eating and drinking His body and blood, words about how only those whom the Father draws can come to Him. John chapter 6 has some difficult sayings. And there are plenty of people at the end of John chapter 6 who say, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Jesus makes hard sayings. And there are plenty. Say, who can listen to it? Verse 61, "But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this?'" How often He could utter those words today. Do you take offense at what he has said? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus is offered to you. He is offered to you at the cross. He is offered to you in his words. Has he not given you promises, invitations, wooings, courtings, callings, promises? Has he not held out to you the olive branch? He gives himself to you through what he has spoken. And he gives himself to you in the sacraments. What do you have in the sacraments? Here you have an institution which Jesus has given to his bride, the church. He knows that the gospel is a hard saying. He knows that the truth can be difficult to hear. He knows that we are dealing with mysteries that the human mind could never comprehend. And so what does our Lord Jesus do as the King and head of the church? He gives you the sacraments. And why does he give you the sacraments? He gives you these as a visible sign of what he does in the gospel. It is a visible word. It is a picture. Speaking this morning with the boys about the sign of the covenant after the flood waters of judgment. And what did God put in the sky after the flood was over? What did he give them? He gave them the sign of the rainbow to be a visible reminder, a picture of his covenant, his promises which are firm and sure and which will never be revoked. Y'all, what is the gospel? What is held out to you? Jesus is offered to you, and just as much as the bread and the wine can feed and nourish your body, even so Christ feeds and nourishes your soul. He is life for your soul. And so to take the bread, to take the wine by faith, looking unto Jesus, is to look through those elements. And what do you see when you look through them with the eyes of faith? You see Jesus, the Son of God. What is sealed to you in the Lord's Supper, what is guaranteed to you in this physical, visible word, what is sealed to you is something that is true of you already. The Lord's Supper is a seal. It is a promise that is sealed with the King's ring. As you have been made one with Christ, as you have trusted in him, as you abide in him, as you receive of his fullness, as you cling to him, he is food for your soul. Y'all, that's the gospel. That is life from the dead. He is offered to you. Life is offered to you. Renewing is offered to you. Healing is held out to you. Love, goodness, truth, nourishment, feeding, it is all laid out before you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Would you pray with me? My gracious Lord, you would take this word, would you write it upon our hearts? Would you inscribe it upon our minds? Would you take this mystery, and Lord, would you increase our love? Would you deepen our devotion? Lord, would these mysteries only heighten our worship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit? And Lord, let your word be life from the dead. In Jesus' name.